It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events, sports, arts, entertainment topics, automotive topics, relationships. It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
Welcome to this edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock, and a big old happy Memorial Day to all of our listeners. Spencer, how did you spend your Memorial Day weekend?
I spent my Memorial Day weekend working. Just all weekend long. Yeah, it would have been nice to have a break, but, you know, the fishing trip that I had the weekend before almost made up for having to work the entire weekend.
So you kind of had an early, long kind of Memorial Day weekend. That's good.
Yeah, before they jacked up the gas prices.
Yeah, and there weren't a bunch of crowds of people, and I'm sure it was a little quieter than if you would have gone out this past weekend anyway. So you lucked out.
Well, actually, I was reading in the news, Doc, that travel has dropped significantly. Fewer people are traveling over this past holiday weekend than they have in years and years and years, and obviously the gas prices and not being able to afford the trip is really what kept a lot of people at home, I think.
No, I don't blame them, man. I drive a little Volkswagen Jetta, and that thing gets pretty good gas mileage, and it cost me $60 to fill up my tank. I mean, you know, I'm by no means a wealthy man, and that's a lot of cash.
You drive a Jedi? Sweet.
Yes. It runs on the Force. It's pretty awesome.
Boy, if it would, that would be great. Well, for those of us who did stay home during the Memorial Day weekend, you probably went out and saw the new Indiana Jones movie. Have you seen it, Doc?
Yeah, I did. I saw it opening night, and, I got to say, it was good, not great. And that's pretty much what I've been telling everybody who hasn't seen it yet. It's good, not great. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, you're either an indie fan, and there's nothing they could do to screw up this franchise for you. For me, I'm an indie fan, and they kind of didn't really deliver what In the first Indiana Jones movie, when the big boulder rolls down, yes, it's corny and probably made of papier-mâché, but it looked real. Now you have CGI effects, and Harrison looks a little tired in the movie, and Shia LaBeouf, please. I mean, could you put this guy in any other movies? And then to stick him in Indiana Jones, seriously, I think the guy is a little overexposed at this point.
He is in a ton of stuff, and I kind of like him. I happen to like him. I mean, I think he was one of the only redeemable things about Transformers. I think, he was really good. I don't know if you saw Disturbia. He was really good in that movie. And you know what? With the special effects, I don't mind that so much. It's when it's special effects for special effects' sake. Like, there's a scene, this isn't a spoiler or anything, so if you haven't seen it, don't worry about it. There's basically a scene where Shia LaBeouf is swinging around with a bunch of monkeys, and you got to wonder, did they do that just because they could, or did they do it because they thought it was a good idea? And, the more and more I've thought about this movie, my major problem with it, I got to tell you, I'm probably one of the biggest Indiana Jones fans you'll meet. I mean, I literally have a hat and a bullwhip. I mean, I'm that big into it. And, I'm not even joking when I say that. But, this was something, and it seems to me like this is a recurring trend with all of these, four movies, Die Hard 4, Indiana Jones 4. You know, part of the excitement about the first three was that you were kind of going along on this adventure, and you're watching a guy who's in way over his head, and that's part of the adventure. It's watching him get out of all these sticky situations. In Die Hard 4, it's like, well, clearly there's a helicopter chasing us, so it's logical that we're just going to ramp this motorcycle off of a ramp and explode it into the helicopter to bring it down. I mean, there's no figuring it out. There's no adventure behind it. There's no, sense that there's this common man who's in way over his head, and the excitement's all in watching how he figures it out, And I just didn't feel it as much in this. I mean, it was a lot of fun. There were a lot of cool things. It was great to see Marion Ravenwood again, and kind of introduce some new fun characters. And, overall, I thought, again, good, not great.
I do like Shy. I really do. I mean, I thought he was great in Transformers. I agree with you there. Disturbia was excellent. Enjoyed that. Remember a few years ago when Will Smith was in everything, but he could pull it off? See, I think they should have got Will Smith to be Indiana Jones' son. Now that would have been freaking cool. Okay, so
yeah, that would have definitely raised some questions.
Because mom comes out and goes,
spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. Oh, by the way, if you don't want to know anything else about this movie and you haven't seen it yet, you might want to skip ahead in the podcast. But no, I think that would have been pretty cool. Maybe have Wilson, and we would have added a little bit more comedy to it. Kind of cool. So anyway, if you're an Indiana Jones fan, please don't feel bad. I mean, go see the movie because you'll probably enjoy it. And I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. She loved it. I, on the other hand, am a little bit more critical and maybe cynical and went, eh. And one of our posts that agrees kind of with this is in the movies thread. Just saw the Indiana Jones posted by BigBert81. Of course, he's a little more vocal. He wrote, "Wow, that movie sucked." Tell us how you really feel, Big Bert.
Yeah, no kidding.
If I wanted to watch a children's movie, I would go see Spiderwick. This movie was such a frigging disappointment, they should have stopped after 3. What more can I say? 19 years of waiting and a total letdown.
Yeah, and it seems like pretty much the rest of the thread kind of agrees with them, except for our very own Jedi Miller. And Jedi Miller actually has an Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull avatar up. Now at this point, I think to kind of prove his point, he says, "You are either a troll or an uneducated individual. I'm guessing both. There is no way in hell that movie sucked. You must have had a lobotomy. I'll have my full review up tonight on BTS for everyone to read." He put that up on the 25th, so you can go and check out Jedi Miller's, I'm sure, excellent review of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Hey, even though that was a tiny bit harsh, maybe, Jedi Miller, I mean, lobotomy and troll and uneducated, probably a little harsh for the site. I mean, everybody kind of has their own opinion, but, you know, if you want to talk about the movie, that's cool, but no personal attacks, please. It's got to follow TNC on the website.
Let's keep it clean now, Jedi. Keep it clean. What's happening in the world here, Spencer?
I went on eBay and tried to buy a baby.
Did you? Well, that's interesting because in the Breaking General News Forum, there happens to be an article that's titled "Parents Try to Sell Baby on eBay." Yeah, and again, this could be in the rant forum also. This is just really unbelievable. And you're thinking, well, what could a baby go for on eBay? I mean, I bet that would draw a pretty high bid, you know, at the very least, aside from, you know, the moral and ethical issues that it brings up. But it says that authorities in southern Germany said Saturday that they have taken custody of a 7-month-year-old baby after his parents posted an ad on eBay offering to sell him for €1. And for those Americans who don't know the equivalent of €1, it's about $1.57. So these people put up a child, a breathing, living child on the internet on good old eBay for $1.57. I'm just speechless.
Well, you know, I think this has got to be a joke. Obviously, this is one of two things. It's a joke, and I think that I read something in the news that, you know, they're just kidding. It was just kind of a practical joke, and everybody goes, "Oh, you can't do that." Or, you know, it is, you know, after one of those long nights of the kid just driving you crazy, you snapped. You know, a little postpartum thing going on there, little Tom Cruise thing going on there, and you decided, "Hey, I'm going to eBay this baby."
Sorry, I eBayed the baby.
An eBay ate your baby.
eBay ate my baby. That's for all of our Australian listeners out there. A really poor attempt at Australian accent. Sorry about that.
Obviously, this is a practical joke. I mean, somebody can kid around, but evidently the authorities really don't have a sense of humor.
Well, and you can't blame them either. I mean, I guess if we lived in a little bit, you know, of a more ethical, moral society, I guess maybe you could joke around about this and people would think it was hilarious. But man, you know, you read stories all the time about people leaving their baby places and just all sorts of horrible things. You know, you hear about the baby found in the dumpster or the garbage can or laying somewhere in an alley or a ditch or something. And you're just thinking, you know, what kind of horrible human being would do that? And my mind logically goes to, well, I guess it's not that far of a stretch if someone's willing to do that with a baby, you know, than to sell it on eBay. Why the hell not? You know,
well, people have tried to sell their kidneys on eBay and other, you know, other organs and whatever. I guess, you know, you've got to check out every lead, but if it's obviously a joke or, you know, a practical joke, then you really shouldn't remove the child from the family. I mean, just trying to have a sense of humor, maybe. Maybe. Well, good luck.
Social de-evolution appears complete.
All right, that's going to take us to the Breaking General News Forum, the world's best and worst ideas and inventions ever. They must have picked up on our last podcast because we were talking about inventions and things that we could invent. And you know, I invented the cart corral, which somebody else took credit for and made a ton of money off of. And of course, the anti-flatulent underwear, which is little panty liners, which are darn cool, and somebody invented those too. And made a lot of money.
Yeah, and I over the break, I thought it would be really cool. What if you could carry around a little computer with you that stored all of your music on it, and you could just play it anytime you wanted to? I think I'm going to try and patent something like that and get that going.
This was originally posted by Pause for Thought. reality TV, and bomb worst ideas. Reality TV was voted worst idea of all time by a fifth of respondents. Reality TV is rated as the second worst idea of all time behind the atom bomb, according to the survey.
Yeah, and coming in a close second were capital punishment, plastic bags, and credit cards. So that gives you some idea of, you know, where people hold reality TV in terms of the good invention spectrum.
Now, here in West Texas, you know, we have a Walmart. We have several Walmarts. It's where we go hang out and watch people in spandex. It's what we do. The problem is, and I guess this is in everywhere where there's where these shopping places are, that plastic bags are really a problem now because people just throw them away or they're blowing out of trash cans. And here in West Texas, we have something, we talked about this in an earlier podcast, called mesquite, which is a thorny bush. And all it does is collect plastic bags. So when you drive through our part of the country, if it's near a Walmart, it looks like trees with plastic growing plastic bags off of them. And it's just bad. I mean, these things are everywhere. They're not biodegradable and they last forever and they just trash up the environment.
Oh, yeah. And the poor little animals come by. They think they're food. They go to eat them. And then they die. Oh, it's just sad. Use paper or carry your own little canvas bag around with you. That's my suggestion.
Worst invention, landmines and McDonald's. Now, I will go with landmines. McDonald's, though, you know, I've had that midnight run for the Big Mac. And there's sometimes, Doc, I have to admit, this is a confession, I actually eat two Big Macs.
Damn. Well, if you've ever seen Super Size Me, you know there's that guy who he eats two or three of them a day. That's all he eats. And hey, you know, the invention of McDonald's, I bet back, you know, right when McDonald's first came out, I bet those were really good burgers. You know, I bet the meat was real fresh and the buns were really good, you know, and then it just kind of slid downhill and they had to figure out a way to keep them and freeze them and do all this other, you know, figure out cheaper ways to make the meat. And, you know, so I would agree it's certainly gone downhill, but the actual invention of McDonald's, man, that was a pretty good idea. Just run out and grab a burger any time of day. That's great.
And when people say, I remember the good old days when McDonald's had trans fats in their French fries, you know, that's there's some certain things they've improved upon, but yeah, nothing like a good fresh hamburger. System IK, who posted, said, I'm not sure it's the absolute worst idea of all time, but it's definitely up there on the list. I present you the body laptop interface. And System IK has a picture. I can describe it. It looks like, well, you know what? Just check out the picture. And it does look like something out of Dr. Seuss.
And a lot of people go on to talk about robots being great inventions and the epitome of bad inventions and so forth and so on. And it's a kind of interesting thread. It's kind of, you know, unique to kind of look back and see what worked and what hasn't worked and, you know, what was built with good intentions and then kind of went awry and all that good stuff. It's certainly something interesting to reflect upon.
Okay, well, I think toilet paper still gets my top vote for best invention.
Yeah, and one of our posters put toilet paper and toilets, and I agree. Those are tremendous inventions. Not having to go to the outhouse or dig yourself a hole when it's the middle of winter. Much appreciated, toilet inventor. A+ and a thumbs up to you, my friend.
Hey, and we'll be back with more of the BTS Mix next.
Question. What does the NSA, CIA, OSI, MI6, U.S. Secret Service, NASA, the Pentagon, EPA, the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate, FEMA, the U.S. Department of State, the United States Navy, the United States Marines, the U.S. Army, United States Air Force, the United Kingdom House of Lords and House of Commons, Buckingham Palace, Forbes Magazine, Time, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, to name just a small few, have in common. Answer? These plus thousands of others have registered members and constant visitors to all three sites on the Above Network LLC. AboveTopSecret.com, BelowTopSecret.com, and AbovePolitics.com. Get smart. Be part of the revolution that is being heard around the world.
Hey, And a big welcome back to the BTS Mix. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
Hopping back into the threads here in our general chit-chat forum and, you know, for all the dinosaurs around here like Spencer, you know, this is...
Oh, thanks.
this is a great thread, and it's called Remember Wacky Packs, Rock Tumblers, and the Good Old Toys from Yesteryear? And, you know, it's kind of fun to look back and think about, you know, what kind of toys you used to play with and all that good stuff. What were your favorite toys, Spencer?
Late Apexer 313 is who originally posted this, and I got to agree. I mean, I played dodgeball in gym, as did a lot of kids, before it became politically incorrect to hit the kid next to you in the face with a dodgeball. But he mentioned Dunkin' Yo-Yos, the glow-in-the-dark Dunkin' Yo-Yos. Those were cool. Of course, Frisbees were always cool, but I remember the reruns of Star Trek. Yeah, and that's how old I am. I didn't see the first runs. Actually, I did, but don't tell anybody. But no, I remember some of the great toys of all time. Being from West Texas, a BB gun was always a necessity. You'll put your eye out with that, kid. Some of the other stuff, Legos. I had a Lego set that I loved. I had Lincoln Logs.
Oh, Lincoln Logs are cool. Very cool.
I had a G.I. Joe and you know, his little dune buggy thing with a tent and all that kind of cool stuff. G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip, by the way.
So sweet.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what else. There was some... Oh, Silly Putty was always a favorite toy because you could always press it down on the comics in the newspaper, like the Sunday comics, and you could pull the color up and it'd do like a reverse image on your Silly Putty. Of course, that would, you know, probably pollute it after a while. But, yeah, Silly Putty was cool.
Oh, yeah. I used to like to pull up the images off the comics and then eat the stuff. It was really tasty. Added a nice flavor to it. You know, man, G.I. Joes were totally cool. I had this friend. It must have been when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And you know, in the commercials, they always had those, you know, the play sets, the battlegrounds. And I think I've actually talked about this before. But man, this was so awesome because his entire basement, his dad was like kind of a carpenter or a builder or something. And he built all of those, you know, battle grounds, you know, that you saw in the cool commercials, like, you know, with the lakes and the different strategic areas and all that stuff. And then he just had armies of G.I. Joes. Like if there was a Jeep that came out for G.I. Joe, he had 5 of them. If there were a tank, he had 10 of them. If there were airplanes, he had 15 of them. It was awesome. And we would just sit down there and have wars and battles, and it was great.
Yeah, great toys. Hey, you know, I had a Mr. Potato Head. That was actually one of my first toys was a Mr. Potato Head. I got him when I got my tonsils out. And a Slinky. Slinkies are cool, except if you're an uncoordinated kid like me, and you ended up tangling the dang thing up, and then it was almost impossible to get untangled.
Maw, Spencer's hung up in the Slinky again.
He's hung himself.
I can just see you strapped to a fence, you know, barbed there with a Slinky.
Well, the pets didn't like me either, because I would torture them with the Slinky. And you know, the 4th of July was always fun, too, because if you had the little toys and stuff, you could always go buy firecrackers and stuff and blow up your toys. It was kind of like not quite as sinister as the kid from Toy Story, but almost.
And that was, you know, it's kind of a survival of the fittest at that point, you know, because you get rid of your old toys. I think that's a kid's biggest problem. He doesn't want to get rid of any toys. But if you give him an incentive, give him some explosives to get rid of those toys explosively, then they'll be gone in a heartbeat. And then you can clear out some of that toy clutter you've got there. So attention, parents, please buy your young children high explosives. I think that would be a really good way to control their toy population.
Well, it'll sure keep them, you know, from picking their nose after a while with no stubs. You know,
That's right. Little Timmy has fewer toys and can no longer pick his nose. It's a happy world for everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad they don't make fireworks like they used to. My mom used to tell me these stories. You know, we knew this boy that blew his fingers off with them fireworks. So you just set it down. You don't light it and throw it. You set it down and run away. And then, of course, that took all the fun out of it.
Oh, well, yeah. Access Denied here writes in that her super cycle was her favorite toy, and those things were really cool. I remember super cycles, and you know, they're just kind of tricked out bikes. They were really awesome.
Yeah, my super cycle was a Schwinn, green Schwinn banana seat bicycle, and the way I made it a super cycle is I got some clothespins and some playing cards, which really pissed my dad off because they were his, and then taped the playing cards. Clip them onto the. Onto the fork, and so they would go through the spokes and go brrr, so you sound like you were really, you know, you were really cool. You were like a chopper riding around town.
Yeah, on the hog. Oh, yeah. And I guess that conveniently brings us into our next thread, and DJ Temp wants to know, if I ride a bicycle, will people think I'm a bum? I think that's a pretty good question. And she says, I have this little problem. I want to buy a bicycle and get around. It will be good for me as far as exercise and getting around free. The problem is that bicycle riders here are all bag ladies and transients. How do I let the world know I'm doing it because of the gas problem? And I do have a car. Thank you very much. I'm not a snob, never have been, so don't get me wrong. It just so happens that up to now, bicycle riders here equal loser. I'm serious. So how would I handle it? Should I carry a coach bag? You know, there's something saying that I'm not a bum. Do any of you know some people immediately classify yourself as a loser or someone whose license was taken away for being a loser? I swear it's just not in my head. This is how bike riders are viewed in this town. Any suggestions? And my suggestion, you know, I live in New York. Everybody rides a bike around here now. And, you know, it's a great way to get around. I suspect it's all in the way that you dress. And if you really are that concerned about it, spend an extra couple $100 and get a really nice tricked out looking bike, you know, or as Spencer just suggested, you know, grab some clothespins, get a deck of cards and really trick that mother out. And people think you're riding a motorcycle and they'll think you're even sweeter.
Yeah. You're like a Harley rider then. Yeah. You know, either that or just go get a t-shirt and on the back of it says my other vehicle is an SUV and people will get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Or, you know, wear some high class jewelry, you know, nothing obviously that would get caught on the handlebars or in the spokes or in the gears or anything. But, you know, you got lots of options. You know, somebody recommends here a Clear Skies says a get a nice used bike and a great biking outfit. You know, maybe some nice biker shorts, a really good looking helmet with some nice colors on it. You know, there are tons of ways where you can really spruce up your cycling and not look like a bum or a transient.
Yeah, you know, as long as you don't look like a bag lady, you know, and maybe put your hair in a French braid. If you've got long hair and you're going to be riding, obviously a helmet is going to be a necessity. You know, just kind of a clean look like you're, if you have to get places, a backpack instead of carrying a bag on your handlebars, probably a good look. But, you know, if you're living in Cape Cod and people think that I've never seen a bag lady ride a bike or a transient. I mean, I really haven't, unless they stole it. I just haven't seen that. In West Texas, it's too far to ride, you know, and in the summertime, it gets too hot. They'll sit here and go, hey, can I have a ride? You know, or they'll be along the interstate during the summertime. But no, I've never seen a transient riding a bike here in West Texas.
Mommy, that hobo just stole my bike and he's riding away. Oh, crazy transients.
With the gas prices the way they're going, and they're expecting them to go higher, which is dumb because we have a great supply of gasoline and oil. The problem is you've got speculation, and that's what's driving it up. So more people are going to be riding their bikes. I even told my wife, I said, listen, we've got some bikes hanging in the garage. It's a great way for us to get in shape, and, you know, we can save a little gas. We don't need to drive everywhere. Now, my teenage daughter, who just got her learner's permit, you could not get her near a bicycle. She thinks now that she's all that in a bag of chips, she's got to drive everywhere. So that's, I think I'm going to just teach her the economics. Honey, you buy the gas, you can drive. But on your little bitty part-time job, you're not going to be buying a whole lot of gas.
Yeah, I was going to say she's not going to be going very far or anywhere for that matter. Oh, man. Yeah, biking's a great way. You know, just get out, exercise a little bit. It'll get you from point, you know, get a nice basket. You can run to the store, carry some groceries home. Obviously, you know, don't go get milk in the middle of the summertime and expect it to be in any sort of decent shape by the time you get back. But, hey, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can ride your bike around. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, and we all may be riding bikes by 2012, which leads us to our next thread topic, which is posted by Incarnated in the Rant Forum 2012. Why won't they listen? Sure, it sounds crazy enough. I was born knowing the world was going to end in my lifetime. It was back in 88 I started really researching events to take place. I never had any eye on a date. I studied more of the prophecies and stuff like that. I never said the world was going to end on this date before, and I knew Y2K was a joke. I knew 1999 was nothing more than Prince's wet dream, and I never even looked for a date. I just knew it was coming. Many people I've talked to over the years seemed to be so far off they didn't bother to check into it at the time. I had other things to concern myself with. I watched the political pieces set themselves up just as Nostradamus said they would. Not just Nostradamus, but the Bible too. Oh Lord. Then just last year I thought I'd check to see what 2012 was about. Does that date fulfill everything I've ever learned about the end of the world? Most people that scoff off the end of the date know nothing, and they want to stay that way. They don't see Ezekiel's wheel. They don't want to. It's all right there. I make jokes now on other forums. I say stuff like, oh yeah, that would be great to do if the world wasn't ending in 2012. I make jokes because I know. Then people act as if I'm the crazy one. Okay. Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this, Doc, and have you done any reading about the year 2012?
Well, yeah, the first thing that sparked my interest is obviously, you know, that the Mayan calendar designed many thousands of years ago ends on 2012. It just does not progress further than that. And, of course, then that gets into the whole, you know, prophecy of ancient societies and if there was an Atlantis and what they knew and is it on some sort of cosmic cycle where that's just kind of the, you know, the Earth just decides, okay, time to change things around a little bit. You know, let's get rid of some of our life forms. Is it something that happens in the universe on a regular cycle that we're not, you know, we have not seen in our lifetimes or in recordable history? Is that what wiped out Atlantis or the Egyptians or, you know, I mean, it certainly brings up all these questions, and I got to say, you know, there are very, very credible people that believe, while, you know, they don't think it may be the end of the world, it will certainly be a significant year, and if, so far, it looks like things are kind of leading up that way. I mean, you look at the, you know, the cyclone in China, the earthquakes, the, I mean, they've just recently had, through natural occurrences, over 200,000 people perish from natural events on the planet. There are freak tornadoes all across the U.S. There are weird storms hitting Europe. There are, you know, all sorts of things going on. And it does certainly make you pause and go, maybe there is something to this 2012 thing.
There was a TV show, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but it starred the guy that was he was in Aliens, I think, and he was the android, but he was in this, and it had a serpent swallowing its tail, and that's basically a picture of the universe. But the universe... our galaxy, but the galaxy, we're going to line up with that in 2012. I think it's around December 20th, somewhere around there, around the winter solstice. And there's lots of things that line up around that date. I don't know if you can say, well, this is going to be an amazing date. It remains to be seen, but I agree with you, Doc. I mean, even the Bible, it says, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be earthquakes and famines in various places, and there'll be all these bad things that are going to be happening, but the end isn't yet to come. But we're starting to see more and more things that weren't possible 2,000 years ago when John wrote the book of Revelation that are possible now. RFID chips. I mean, a lot of people consider that the mark of the beast, when you can't buy or sell unless you have an radio frequency or some. It's listed as a mark, but a lot of people say, well, the radio frequency identifier chip that you plant under your skin, maybe in your hand, to do cashless purchases with, maybe that's the mark of the beast. And there'll be some legislation or some government dictatorial decrees saying, all right, nobody can buy or sell unless they have this chip. That way we can control the currency and all this other stuff. But we see more and more of that starting to develop. Whereas 2,000 years ago, I mean, that was impossible. When the Bible talks about, you know, the two prophets and everyone will see them slain in the street. Well, nobody could see them slain in the street. Everybody on the planet. But now everybody's got a TV. Everybody's got the internet. Everybody's got cell phones. It's not that hard to distribute information on a worldwide scale. 2,000 years ago, people went, that's crazy. You can't do that. But now we're seeing, maybe there's something to that. So to outright dismiss 2012, I think... I don't know. I mean, I'm not into setting dates, and the poster wasn't into setting dates either, but I think that if 2012 comes around December 20th, 2012 comes around and nothing happens and the world continues on the way it's been going, then it'll just be another date that was set and then missed. Or something else. We'll see.
Well, you know, all good things must come to an end sometime, and why not 2012? You know, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe a big volcano will go off. Who knows? Maybe a big asteroid will hit us. You know, it's hard to say. It's very difficult to say, and, you know, we'll certainly look on it excitingly, and if nothing happens, great, and if something does happen, well, we'll catch you later.
For once in my life, I have inner peace.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause. By giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the threat or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great threat or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Their boy glands emit a pleasant berry scent.
Here, check this out.
And welcome back to the BTS Mix. I'm Doc Hancock.
I'm Spencer Tracy. And there's a new thread that talks about fake movie posters. Talk about this a little bit, Doc.
I came upon this and I thought this was just awesome. And not only is it a great idea for a thread, but some of the talent around here to design things, it's really, really superior. Chisler, one of our super moderators here on the ATS and BTS forums, decided to start a little competition. And it says, fake movie poster photo competition. It says, welcome to Below Top Secret's fake movie poster competition. It's been some time since we've had a photo competition on BTS, but it is my pleasure to announce our next installment. As of this moment, the competition has begun. And this was posted a few days ago. And it shall run through June 13th, 2008, 12 a.m. Eastern. 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And basically, you are judged on your artistic ability and comedic or conspiracy approach to this. And the idea is you just want to make up your own original movie poster. And there really aren't any rules beyond that. And there are some excellent examples of movie poster. I really like Reaganmacher writes in, and you're, by the way, you're only allowed to put up your pictures on here. You're not allowed to comment. There's a separate forum for commenting. And he's got Stephen King's The Sheeple, and it's Bush and Laura and Cheney and the dogs, and they're riding in this Jeep through a herd of sheep, and it just looks great. And there's this big sheep with a bloody mouth on top of the Jeep, howling at the moon. So that's great. And below that, he's got Die Hard Rat with Bruce Willis, Michael Moore, and Ralph Nader, and just did a tremendous job on the Photoshop. I mean, it looks absolutely professional. So congratulations to all these guys. I'm really looking forward to see how this turns out.
I love it. Right below that one, of course, Roswell One posted, instead of Happy Feet, Crappy Meat. It's got the little penguin dancing next to a cooked penguin, I guess. Warning, may cause indigestion. Oh, great poster. Looks good.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. I really like, Animali, I believe it's pronounced, 33's post. And it's this hand with strings around the earth. And it says, civilization will never be the same. Peak. And I assume that's referring to peak oil and kind of giving it the whole puppeteer approach, and really nice job on the design on that.
You know, you said this earlier, but I'm blown away by the creativity and just it's sharp. It's really sharp. Tyranny 22, we've all seen the I Am Legend posters. This one is Bush Putin, the last men on earth. I Am Leader. It's got the destroyed city. It's not funny because you live there, of New York, and then Bush and Putin walking through the streets holding hands.
Yeah, why everybody always got to be picking on New York? I don't understand that. You know, I saw Cloverfield the other day, which was kind of a big disappointment, but I'm like, man, of all the cities, like, why can't it destroy L.A.? Like, that would be kind of more interesting. There's more stuff to destroy in L.A. New York, it's like he takes a couple swings and it's over, you know? Everything's kind of close together. And I don't want to leave I'm a Marty out either, who has a great ATS-themed poster as well. And it's Above Top Secret, the movie. And it's this guy poking through the website saying, we're watching. And he's got the barcode on his forehead, which is really cool.
Now you just need two little pictures of Doc and me in the bottom corner saying, we're listening.
That's right. That's right, with our big heads.
Cool stuff. Hey, well, you know, that kind of leads us into the BTS screen test.
Woo-hoo, screen test.
We've lost several people in the entertainment industry, one of which is Dick Martin. Good night, Dick. Say good night, Dick. For those of you who remember Rowan and Martin's Laugh In, one of the greatest TV shows, and for its time, satirical comedy, it was wonderful. It was amazing, and the stuff that they got away with on 60s television, of course, it had great folks like Ruth Buzzy on there, Goldie Hawn, of course, back in the younger day when she was the go-go dancer.
Suck it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, a flashback. Sorry. But I thought it would be really cool to do a BTS Mix screen test question about Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Ooh, and remember that this could be worth 500 BTS points if you get it correct. So what's the question, Spencer?
All right. I'd like to know the actor and what they were dressed in when they uttered this line.
very interesting.
And that could be worth 500 points to you. So if you think you know the answer, go ahead and log on to belowtopsecret.com and come on over to our forum and put up the correct answer. It could be worth 500 points.
Hey, we love to read your posts. So this show is basically driven by your input. The stuff that you come up with on the site, that's what we talk about. And if it's really good stuff, hey, we share it with everybody. Also, you can subscribe to the BTS Mix Show in iTunes, which is great. And by the way, if you'd like to do an interview with Doc or I, you can U2U us anytime. We'd love to talk with you and just share, you know, some of the ideas, what you'd like to talk about. If there's a certain subject, a certain theme, hey, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you on the show.
So if you have any problems, just U2U me. You know, I give great advice most of the time. It usually involves drinking beer to deal with it, but, you know, give me a shot.
There you go. All right, well, that does it for this edition of the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.